John chapter 20. And in verse number 21, it said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Heavenly Father, thank you again for the night. We've already enjoyed it, Father. We could go home tonight, close our Bibles, go home, and we have been blessed already. But Lord, we pray now that you'd take the Word of God tonight, speak to our lives as only you can. Lord, move in our hearts, please, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. And I appreciate the preacher rehearsing. Last night we talked about how this sending, and folks, listen, go to Acts chapter number 13. Go to Acts chapter number 13. I mentioned it last night. Some of you looked at me a little funny. But go to Acts chapter number 13. And folks, listen, this is what this is all about. Acts chapter number 13 is the central thing of what Jesus was saying in John chapter 20. And when he says that as the Father sent me, so send I you. But now, how do we send people to preach the gospel? How do we send laborers into the field? Well, he says in Acts 13 in verse number 1, "Now there were in the church that it was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. God has chosen now the church of His Son," amen, to call out people from this world that are now saved and born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you have a job to do, and that is to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, as the Father has sent me, He said, "Even so send I you." So now from this place is where the gospel is to go forth into this world. Amen? God has chosen a church. He's not chosen a fellowship. He's not chosen a denomination. He's not chosen some group of people that don't have any idea of what a church is all about. He has chosen this particular thing, His church, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you get a hold of that, amen? Anything that operates outside the authority of a local church does not have God's power, God's blessing, God's purpose upon it, amen? Doesn't have it, amen? And there's a lot of things doing that, trying to disguise itself in the name of some ministry or something. You say, well, they're doing good things. I didn't say they were not doing good things. I just said they don't have God's authority. They don't have God's purpose. They don't have God's power upon them because God has chosen this church and churches like this one all over the world to send people to reach the world and reach their cities. Hey, tomorrow morning, you know what this church is doing tomorrow morning? Sending us to reach Avon Lake with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, I'm not going to the mission field. You are tomorrow. Amen. You come up here, you show up here tomorrow, and you get a handful of those packets, and you start down the street. Hey, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Amen. Some of the hardest people to reach is your own family. Amen. You try to go back to your city, but God's given you an opportunity to practice what we're preaching about tomorrow morning. Amen. Now, and so we have power, we have purpose, we have power, we have peace. Now take your Bibles, go to the book of Philippians. Let me say this to you. Go to the book of Philippians. This sending us out to do the work of God, God sending His servants, has power, it has purpose, it has a peace, but it comes with a great price. Philippians chapter 2, what's the Bible saying? Philippians chapter 2, and it's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." This sending forth, this sending out of people comes with a great price. The first price that was paid was the price of the life and the precious blood of God's sinless, perfect Son, Jesus Christ. He paid the price so that we could have the ability to go out. Amen. Aren't you glad He paid the price for you and I? Amen. But can I say to you tonight that you and I going forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to cost us something. No wonder Paul said, "I die daily." Because when he said in Philippians, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew the price that would have to be paid. There's people that will come tomorrow and go down the street corner and hand out a piece of literature because they might see one of their friends or they might see one of their co-workers, and they don't want to pay that price. They don't want to pay the cost. But I'm here to tell you tonight, serving Jesus Christ and getting the gospel to the world comes with a price. Amen. He said, I don't want to give the faith promise. Getting the gospel to the world comes with a price. Amen. You and I getting it came with a price. Now getting it to the world comes with a price. And we've got to be willing to pay the cost. Hey folks, listen, that's our problem. Look at another verse of Scripture just a minute tonight. Go to Titus chapter 2. You say, preacher, that's only one verse of Scripture. Go to Titus chapter 2. What's Titus chapter 2 say? I love these verses. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for it, amen. But he said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, what? Zealous of good works. You know, when he bought you and paid for you in your life and saved you, he saved you hoping that you might be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen? Man, yeah, I don't know about you, but preacher, I don't know if anybody's ever said it. I have told, I don't know how many churches about what you do at your missions conference. I don't go. I preach missions conferences almost every week of my life. If I'm not out of the country on a military base, I'm in a missions conference preaching. You're the only church that I know of that does such a thing on a Saturday morning. And I'm thinking, well, what are we here for now? Now, they'll get up and have breakfast for everybody. And they'll get up and have ladies' meetings. And they'll get smiling at me, amen. So all the ladies can come together and have tea and cookies and stand around here and talk about how wonderful it is. But why don't we practice what we preach? Why don't we practice, put in practice what we're doing? I love it. I mean, I think it's great. Amen. I'm so excited about tomorrow morning. I can't already stand it. He said, but you know why? Because I'm zealous for good works. Amen. No, I'm not working to get saved. I'm working because I am saved. Amen. And we've got to be willing to pay the price. It costs some time tomorrow. It costs some energy tomorrow. It may cost a blister on a foot or two. Amen. Hey, you may get attacked by a Doberman like I did in Tampa, Florida. Amen. And I'm telling you what, thank God I was... you know how God preorders things, Brother Stewart? That day, my partner was an EMT from the city of Tampa's fire department. Amen. And he was at the house in front of me, and he saw that Doberman coming at me. That man came at a dead run and body blocked that Doberman, amen. Took him out. I took the man out for lunch, amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, it's going to cost us something. There has to be a price to pay, amen. Salvation is free, amen. Because somebody paid the cost. Hey, this family's paying the cost to move their family from Ireland to Sweden. They paid the cost to go to Ireland and reach the Irish people with the gospel. Hey folks, this family's going to pay the cost to go to the Philippines and reach the Filipino people with the gospel. These folks are going to pay the cost. Hey, I just had a blank where you're going, amen, brother. You're going to the Netherlands, amen, and preach the gospel. Hey folks, there is a cost to be paid, and God has said to us, I've paid the first cost, now you pay the second. It's not cheap to go to Australia, is it, brother? You know, if the average independent Baptist preacher knew what it costs to live in New Zealand or in Australia, to live in Sweden, he said he was talking to Beth Russ and Beth Holland, who are going to the Arctic region of Norway. You'd be amazed what they're going to have to raise to go there to live. How about going to some place where milk is $18 a gallon? Where a 12-pound frozen turkey for Thanksgiving dinner is $57. But if they're going to get the gospel, somebody has to pay the price. Now, There's a price to be paid. Now, once you go to John chapter 17, I may get stuck right here. John 17 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. Jesus is getting ready, of course, to go into Jerusalem, on to the crucifixion, all that. You find him in the his last words to his disciples, and his last words to the disciples was not really a face-to-face instruction, but he was praying to his Heavenly Father. And in the prayer, instructing his disciples of the last things that he wanted them to see. And he starts this thing in verse 4. Now watch this. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, that separated him from the rest of the world. Amen. He said, hey, glorify me now with the glory I had with you, Father, before this thing ever started. Amen. And nobody else can say that one. But now watch this. And he goes through this whole passage of Scripture. He's talking about God getting the glory and how he reached people. He says in verse 6, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, that they thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And he goes on down through this. Now get down at the end of this passage of Scripture. Notice what he says in verse 21. He said, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. Hey, it comes with a price. But it comes, now listen to me, it comes with a presence. You know what this missionary's job is, to go to the field? He said he's going over there and he's going to help that people, reach the people with the gospel. They're going to build a Christian boarding school. No, his job is to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? How's he going to win the Swedish people to the Lord? He's going to learn Swedish language so well that he can preach so elegantly in the Bible and teach them the Word of God. No, the first thing he's going to have to do is walk with Jesus, get God, Jesus in him, and him with Jesus so close that he glorifies Jesus Christ. And everything he does and the presence of that relationship will prove to the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He is present with Him. You know what? We go to the mission field with the wrong philosophy. We go out tomorrow with the wrong philosophy. Now, here's where I'm going to try to get in trouble, so y'all pray for me. My job is not to win the world to Jesus Christ. My job is to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And that the world might know that Jesus sent me. Amen? You know, before I figured that out, there's a lot of Robbie Morrison converts. But after I figured that out, there was a lot of people got converted to Jesus Christ. Smile at me, amen? That's our problem, see? So the presence that goes with us is Christ in me and me in Him. And the number one thing I got to keep right in my life is that relationship, that presence. Because look at that verse again. What did he say? Read that again. And when you get a hold of that, he said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Did you ever hear this, preacher? Well, them Baptists can't get along. So why would I want to become one? Ooh, got quiet. He said, so the presence of this thing is Christ in me, and me in Christ, and if Pastor has the same relationship, then we ought to have the same testimony. Amen? Even Brother Vogel ought to have the same testimony. Amen? I'm a little surprised. I sat with him over there last night, and I moved over here tonight. I took a shower, brother. Amen? Brush my teeth, everything else. Amen. What does the world need to see? Doesn't need to see Robbie Morrison. They need to see Jesus Christ. So the presence that goes with me. Hey, you know, let me finish that story. Here I am in Tampa, Florida. Knocking on doors. Missions conference, just like this, we're knocking on doors on a Saturday morning. I go up that driveway to knock on that door. Here comes that Doberman Pinscher down through the yard after me. Here comes the EMT, body blocks that thing, pins it to the ground. The man and the wife come out of the house so horrified, thinking, that thing got close enough, it tore my pants. I mean, I was up close personal with this thing. But you know how God works. Now, if I'd have been a typical Christian that I know, hello? I'd have been yelling at that dog and them people. Why didn't you have that dog tied up? Why didn't you have that thing pinned up? What the? That thing's trying to kill me. Somebody call a lawyer. I can get some money. Smile at me, say amen. And that lady and her husband comes and said, you all right? I said, yes, ma'am. And I said, we just come by to invite you to church. And she looked at me and she said, you did? She said, we just moved here from Pennsylvania. In fact, knew the town they moved from. Had preached in the church that they came from. And she said, where's this church at? They showed up the next Sunday and have been there ever since. Hey, let's listen. And what God was doing said, let's see if we can maintain that presence. Can he maintain that testimony so that they can see Christ in us? That Christ has... That lady looked at me, she said, God sent you here today. I was beginning to wonder, amen. God may have sent me, but the devil sends a dog, amen. He said, is your picture what you're trying to say? There's that presence. And if we don't maintain that relationship, I was in the Philippines with a missionary one time. We're driving through town. I'll get to the next point. We're driving through town. We pulled off the side of the road to get something at this store. And there was this scaffolding set up along the street where they were working on the face of this building. And they don't have the metal scaffolding like us and all that. Their scaffolding's bamboo poles roped together. Amen. And just as we pulled in there, something fell off that scaffolding. Bounced off the hood of his car. And there I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and he slammed his fist against the dashboard. He said, I hate these people. Really? What was wrong? The presence. That one-in-one relationship with Christ was not where it ought to be. I mean, I had a guy stuck a note on my door with a broadhead arrow in it when I pastored and said, it's time for you to leave. But I never said I hated these people. Made threatening phone calls to my house. But I never said I hate these people. We got kind of quiet, didn't we? Now watch. There's a price to be paid. There's a presence that goes with us. But let me go to this last thought tonight. Go to Luke chapter number 10. We read this verse, but I want you to think about it really seriously tonight. Luke chapter number 10. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. If you finish reading John chapter 10, Jesus talked about, or Luke chapter 17, I'm sorry. You finish reading Luke, where we were just at. Yeah, Luke chapter 17, no, John chapter 17. He talked about how he prayed for them. He prayed for them. Amen? You come to Luke chapter 2, or 10, and what does he say in verse 2? Therefore he said unto them, who's them? Read verse 1. And after these things the Lord appointed others 70 also, and sent them two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Circle this. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers in his harvest. The sending forth. What's it saying? We'll go back and read, but in Acts 13, you go down and finish that passage of Scripture, it said when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. the sending forth, the sending out. It's prayer. What do you pray about? What do you pray about? What consumes the time of your prayer life? He said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Do you pray that? Do you pray for that? When's the last time you took a map, took a country, laid your hand on that country, and asked God to send laborers to that field? Our prayer life in our churches, in our members of our churches, is so consumed with gimme, gimme, gimme. I need, I need, I need. I want, I want, I want. God didn't say to them, now go out there and ask me to put clothes on your back and put food on your table. He said, no, go and pray that more laborers will be sent forth. You know, if you pray for 8 nations a day, on a 30-day cycle, you can pray for every nation of the world every month. I have been doing it for several years of my life. And I began a list every time I meet a new missionary that I've met before, going someplace that God has called him to. I go home and I add that name to that list. And when I come to that country, before when I prayed, I just went blank. I can't remember names tonight. Brother Donnie. I always prayed for Travis Willis and I prayed for Chris Barron. I mean, I've known Elizabeth since she was that girl's age. I mean, grew up around that. She grew up around us. I preach at that church all the time. Chris Barron's certifiably insane. He has the papers to prove it. He's crazy. And Elizabeth's even crazier to marry. But I go down through listen, I come to the Philippines, just pray for Travis Lewis, pray for Chris Barron. There's more than that on there. But I would come to countries like Sweden. Didn't even know there was one in the whole nation, brother. There's only two in Norway. Boy, I'm praying. The one missionary's son just got married and he's talking about coming back to America next year to raise support to go back to Norway.
Amen.
There's only one missionary in the whole country of Greenland. You want to talk about God does miracles? When Chris Shaw got ready to go to Greenland, there was not an independent Baptist missionary in the entire country. They said, you can't come to America from Greenland. You had to go to Iceland. You've got to apply for a visa to come to Greenland from Iceland. You have to sit there for almost a year and wait for us to process the paperwork before we even allow you to come to Greenland. Chris Shaw went to Iceland and filed the paperwork 4 months later. They don't know if it was a paperwork glitch or what. They called him and said, you can come. He went to Greenland, started the first church, learned the Greenlandic language, started the first church, got the church going. He said, I better go check and make sure I'm not violating some laws of this country. He went to the governor. He said, what do you have laws about governing churches? He said, we don't have any. We just have recognized churches. He said, really? He said, yeah, and we don't have a recognized Baptist church in Greenland. He said, well, what would that mean? He said, that means you could short-circuit this process and they wouldn't have to go to Iceland to come to Greenland. They'd come right to Greenland with you. And he said, sign me up. Amen. Now we got two more missionaries on deputation going to Greenland to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because somebody prayed and God answered the prayer and raised up laborers. What did you say to me yesterday when I met you? You said, Travis Lewis had been praying for years. Well, why don't you pray? I went to Estonia. I had the opportunity to go to Estonia one time and when I was still with the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And see, I was still so much local church, that's what caused my demise. But anyhow, I said, we got to Estonia. The doors of Estonia opened for the prison ministry. I said, now we got to go find a missionary. We got to go find a church. Could not find one independent Baptist missionary in the country of Estonia. You're talking, this is almost 20 years ago. So I just started praying. A few years before that, we met a man that him and his wife had went to Russia. And they had to leave Russia, Brother Smith, Mike Smith, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. He calls me one night on the phone. He said, Brother Morrison, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I said, no. He said, but for whatever reason, God told me tonight that I'm supposed to call and tell you that yesterday, my wife and I surrendered to go to Estonia. I had myself a Baptistal fit. He said, what are you excited about? I said, preacher, for several years now, my wife and I have been praying. We've been begging God. We've been asking God to send forth laborers. Hey, folks, this thing ought to become more serious to us than just a matter of giving a few dollars in an offering plate. It ought to consume our lives. It ought to consume our prayer lives. If we get past this gimme, gimme, gimme relationship with God and get into a relationship with God where we beg God to send forth laborers. But I'm going to say this and try to finish. You know why I believe most people will not do that? Because they realize the reality is you could be the answer to that prayer. Or worse than that, your kids. My son FaceTimed me when I was at your house today, and from New England, and I said, how you doing? He said, Dad, you do know that you're part of the reason we're here. And I'm like, oh, man. He said, you remember coming up here and preaching in New England? And you said, man, we need more preachers in New England. I said, yeah, I started praying God would send young men to New England to start churches, and pastor churches, not realizing my son and my daughter-in-law and my youngest granddaughter would be the answer to that prayer. And all of a sudden, I couldn't drive through New Philadelphia every time I was there, go over and see them. Now they're 13 hours away. But I've never been more thrilled, Brother John. Never been more excited. This sending, it comes with a price. It comes with a presence. But it comes with a prayer. What if she says, I want to be a missionary? We set in our churches, don't we? Oh, you know, he said he's going to go work with his dad for a year and then maybe figure out what God wants him to do. And I know what she said to me last night. And I'm thinking, man, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's good for the missionaries' kids. But why is it not good for our kids? What is it not good for our kids? Why is it not good for the bus kids? Why is it not? Hey, well, I thank God for bus ministries, because if it wasn't for a bus ministry in Greenwood, South Carolina, at Calvary Baptist Church, Justin Stanley's wife had never got saved, and she wouldn't be on the mission field of Australia tonight reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But somebody reached her and discipled her and took care of her, paid her way to go to the Christian school, and God raised her up to do her work. It's an answer to prayer. Can I just ask you this way tonight? What do you pray about? What do you pray about? I challenge you, go home. Start looking at countries that do not have missionaries. People say, you can't do it in Russia, but we got missionaries in Siberia. You can't go to China and preach the gospel, but we got a missionary crossing the border into Tibet, preaching the Tibetan people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know missionaries that are going to countries, I'm not saying it because of security reasons, that if the government ever knew, pray ye therefore. I guarantee you, you talk to the average missionary, they're praying, God send another labor, God send another labor, God send another labor. Why are we not on this end doing the same thing? The sending. Let me give you one more verse, John chapter 13. Go to the book of John chapter 13. I'll be done. We were going to do something most independent Baptists can't do. Two missionaries and one preacher and get done almost the same time. Amen. John chapter 13. What's he say? John chapter 13, verse 20, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." He said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" Look at the next verse. "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." He knew what was about to happen. But he wanted to reassure him. He said, "He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." See the process? But let's just say he lives in some foreign country. Let's say you live in Saudi Arabia. Amen. Do you know there's an opportunity right now? I know a man that's getting ready to go there. There is a concentration of Filipinos working in Saudi Arabia, and they're asking for somebody to come plant a church. You can't plant a church with the nationals, but you can plant a church with the Filipinos, who could then, let's say he lives there. If I go take him the gospel and he receives the gospel, he's not receiving me. That's what that verse said. He said he receiving, Jesus said they're receiving me that sent them. And if he says if he receives me that sent him, receive Jesus, then he said he's receiving me. That's what it's all about. Amen. Because when Robbie Morrison leaves, he still has Jesus. But if all he ever gets is me, then when I leave, he's got nothing. Well, that's what thrilled me about what you showed there tonight, brother. He said, "Wow, can national people do the work?" Sure. Yeah. Hey, go down to Kenya, Africa, and ask Robert Mickey about the Kenyan men. They're going over into the Congo, and now they're going up to Bahrain, and they're going over to the Sudan, and they're planting the churches all over that country. I got a good friend all over that world. I got a good friend that just resigned his church as a pastor who had been in Kenya for 10 years. Now he's going back to Kenya just to help Robert Mickey. He's got too many nationals wanting to go plant churches. He can't get wherever they need to go. There's only one of them. Amen. This guy's going back down there to help him do it. That's the way it is. Because they don't receive us, they receive him that sent us. Amen. And the product of this sending, amen. Hey, these people in Lima, Ohio, don't need Brother Rudolph. Amen. They need the one that sent him. Amen. They got enough preachers that they followed in that town that don't know what they're doing, amen, and don't have anything to give them, amen. But when they receive the one that sent him, amen, they got something, amen. And that ought to be the product of what we're sending. We're not going there to build buildings. We're not going there to build schools. Somebody say amen. We're not going there to do humanitarian work.
Right.
Now I know you gotta have a building to have a church, amen, and I understand what he said, but the product is not a building, it's not a plan, it's not a program, it's Jesus Christ in them. That's what it's all about, amen. I think first time I preached in the Philippine Islands, I made the hugest blunder I ever made in the pulpit preaching. One of the first times I was there. I got up that night, they worked all day for me to just simply say good evening. In the Ilongo language. You speak Ilongo, Cebuano? Tagalog, okay. I'm not even going to try it because it's just crazy. It was simply that he said something like, "Mayun aga." And that is good evening. But instead of saying "Mayun aga," I said "Mayun agi" or something like that. Well, they're all laughing. They're falling off the chairs, pointing at me. And finally, the national pastor said, "Brother Morrison, aga is the word for evening. Agi is the word for sodomite." Big difference. Okay? Now, after you're done laughing at me, amen, and I've called them all a bunch of good sodomites, and said, God showed up. There was 1,500 people in that tent. I got done preaching. I saw something I'd never seen in my life. They took out the first five rows of chairs in that tent so that people could be dealt with one by one. Over 300 people came to be saved. Two people got saved that night. One was an 82-year-old woman. She come up afterwards, kissed me on both cheeks, and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for preaching the gospel." She got saved. The next night she came back, Brother Chomer, she walked 5 miles to get there. The next night she came back, she had all of her kids' spouses, all of her grandkids, and some of her great-grandkids. They walked that whole time. She comes walking in the back of the church, and the tent, and she said, "Hey, Brother Morrison," I said, "What?" She said, "I've been telling them all the way here what happened to me last night, how I got saved, and a bunch of them want to get saved. Now, do we have to wait till you're done preaching, or can we do it now?" I said, "Let's mess this service up, amen." And they all come, a bunch of them got saved. See what happened in her life? She got Christ, amen. In that same service was a man who was blind. And his goal in life, he was going to be the next, going to be the Elvis Presley of the Philippine Islands. He could play a piano and sing unbelievably. Walked out that night and got saved. The next time I saw him, he's sitting at a piano singing the songs of God. God had called him to preach. Hello? See the product? See the product? It's not a plaque on a wall as a memorial to Robbie Morrison. But souls that are saved and lives that are changed and nationals that are trained and churches that are started. That's what happened when Jesus came. That ought to be what happens when we go. Amen? Descending. There's a lot to it. But it does have a price. It does require us to pray. I thank God for the presence. But I want the right product. I want the right product.